From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
Welcome to School Talks. On the program this week, we're going to discuss what happened to the legislation that was meant to ban cell phones in schools. Joining us on the program will be David Randles, Director of Government Relations, Educational Policy, and Research at Oakland Schools. And from Anchor Bay High School, we'll chat with Principal Mike McKenzie and teacher Kristen Anderson about the district's decision to ban cell phones in schools. Joining them will be two standout students from the school, Cameron Barbier and Aiden Becker. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is David Randles, the Director of Government Relations, Educational Policy, and Research at Oakland Schools. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy. It's great to be here.
I appreciate you stopping by. I know full well in your line of work that you're closely connected to legislation in Lansing and all of the trimmings that go with that. And for the past several months, up until it seems like the state budget was finalized, there was a ton of debate over whether they were going to ban cell phones in schools. And if I'm not mistaken, it feels like it's sort of fallen off the radar for many other reasons. But I'm curious right now, could you share with us one of the reasons it failed was some differences in the House and Senate version. Could you share with our listeners what some of those differences were that maybe caused it to stall in the legislature?
Sure, yeah, and it's a little bit longer than even that. A couple of years ago, State Representative Mark Tisdale, who represents the Rochester area in the State House, set up a meeting with me, which is great. I love it when they want to meet with me and I'm not asking them for meetings. And he came to our office and sat down and he wanted to talk about this issue. And he had a bill draft on cell phones in schools and prohibiting cell phones in schools. His major concern, he will tell you, was the mental health effects that cell phones were having on our students, as well as the academic concerns. And his initial bill was very strict. The initial conversation we had was, I don't know if schools in this state need this much stricture around a law telling them how to handle this particular issue. But he was great. He came to legislative meetings with superintendents and sat down. And the initial response from them was exactly as I thought it would be, which is, this goes a little too far. But over the course of a couple of years, he had conversations with his own schools, saw what they were doing, saw the policies they had implemented on their own without a state law, how those were working. He looked at research from around the country and really around the world and developed a different plan and reintroduced that legislation. Along with that, the state Senate, led by Senator Pulhenke from Wayne County, introduced her version of the bills. It was a little bit different than Rep. Tisdale's. And we saw just this year, the governor in her State of the State speech announced that this was one of her priorities, was to pass legislation to address the use of cell phones at a statewide level and create new policy around that. So it's a tale as old as time where the folks in Lansing don't quite agree but have the same notion, and then things get confused. But I think where we stand right now, maybe we can talk a little bit about this, is that we do have consensus from the governor's office, Senate, which is a Democratic-controlled Senate, and the Republican sponsor of the bill, Mr. Tisdale, on what policy they'd like to see taken up. But maybe we get into why we haven't seen that pass, which was your original question.
Yeah, and you know, the timing of this information is great, because later on the program today, I have Anchor Bay High School joining us, who has done their own thing, and including in that, I'm excited to chat with some students from the school who are going to give a perspective perspective on what it means to them. So within whichever version we're talking right. about, do all of them somehow make exceptions for emergencies and medical? Tell us a bit about how
that works.
So
that's been one of the negotiations as things and problems have come up, and as local districts and school leadership and school boards have weighed in, there's a number of places where you do need an exception, and that the law shouldn't dictate exclusions of these technologies. For example, a student who has a medical need, right? They may have a biometric need to check something during the day that their phone or an app on their phone is a part of. A special education student may have an IEP that they require certain technologies to be with them on their person during school. Mm-hmm. So there's exemptions for that in kind of this negotiated version I mentioned. Some cases, in fact, Oakland County, our world-class technical centers, which do career and technical education, there are some programs within our tech centers which utilize personal devices for their academic programs mm-hmm. as part of their programs. They're built into the instruction. So the latest version of the bill actually has exemptions for that. There's exemptions in the latest versions of the drafts that I've seen that talk about emergency situations, right? Every parent is concerned about how do I get a hold of my student in an emergency? There's a lockdown. How do I know what's going on? Mm-hmm. That's a double-edged sword, right? You, as a parent, I certainly want to be able to get to my high school student and mm-hmm. talk to her if there's something going on. But it shouldn't interfere with the first responders who are trying to get to the scene, who are trying to use communication pathways to communicate to students about what they need to do and where they need to go. So there is an exemption for emergencies, but it has to align with the emergency operation plan of the district. All of that said, the way that the current legislation is crafted, that's stalled on the House floor right now in the Michigan legislature, would require a school board to come up with a policy that excludes cell phones from instructional time for every student in the district. And so that the student would not be able to access their phone or a device that can connect to the internet for communication during school instructional times. High schoolers under the bill would be allowed if the district chooses to use their phones during passing time, so after, between classes in the hallway, mm-hmm. they could use their phones. But elementary students and the like would have no access mm-hmm. to phones under the policy.
We're currently chatting with David Randles from Oakland Schools about the stalled legislation in Lansing over whether cell phones should be banned or not. In the competing versions of the bills right now, is there any distinction between elementary, middle, and high school?
Right. So, as I just said, an elementary student would have, under the law, the board would have to have a policy that says no access for that student during instructional time at all. Mm-hmm. So there wouldn't be access for an elementary student. But a high schooler, again, they could bring their phone to school. It would essentially be sequestered. Most districts sequester those phones during mm-hmm. classroom times and put them away. But during passing time, they could go to their locker, they could get their phone out, they could check their emails or text messages.
So, David, I need to take a short break. When I come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about feedback you're hearing from educators, parents, and others about where this currently stands and maybe more importantly, where it's going.
Correct.
So
Correct.
If you'll stay with me, this is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Welcome back to School Talks. We're chatting with David Randles, the Director of Government Relations, Educational Policy and Research at Oakland Schools, about the current cell phone legislation that is sort of on hold, excuse the pun, in Lansing, given the disagreement in proposals between the House and Senate. So, David, before the break, we were talking about all the different mechanics of the bill, who it applies to, and so on. In your role, have you heard about or gotten any substantial feedback from schools, parents, and educators about this debate over the proposed restrictions?
Right. So anytime the state passes a law that supersedes local control, there's always concern, right? As you would know from your days running school districts, you have adjusted to what's best for your community and your students and your staff. And when the state passes a law, they often come in somewhat ham-handedly and make corrections that you don't need on the ground or that maybe go contrary to what you've developed. And this is no different, right? There are districts across the state who have developed cell phone policies that are working, that are creating better outcomes for students, and that are effective. No one-size-fits-all state policies is going to work for everyone in the state. So we've heard that feedback. The bill sponsors on both sides have been listening to that, and that's those exemptions that we talked about were weaved in. My daughter, who is a high schooler right now, has sent letters, just full disclosure, to both of her legislators, state senator and state representative, asking them to oppose this legislation because she wants to keep her phone with her during the school day and doesn't want this to happen. So I've heard that feedback as well, and she has shared that, just like any good citizen, with her legislator.
I can only imagine the staffer for your local legislator seeing a letter come in, oh, this must be one of Randall's kids, right?
Literally. Yeah.
So, on the student front, as I mentioned, we're going to have on the program a bit later a school that's sort of doing their own thing. And you bring up local control, which I think is fascinating. You know, we at times have interviewed school districts on this show up in the Upper Peninsula, where kids ride a bus for an hour and a half, right? And when you consider how unique some school systems are, and there's an element to this that has to remain local.
Right.
Just given, even away from any medical-related things or whatnot. And it really goes to the overall challenge of who's running the schools, the communities who own them as municipal entities, or, you know, the big top-down state thing. So as we sit today, where are we in terms of the legislation? What's the best way to capture?
So the House of Representatives and the Senate have both had votes on versions of this legislation. And the last vote that we saw was taken in the State House, and the bill actually failed. We very rarely see bills taken up and voted on where they are actually voted down and failed. That usually, if something is being voted down, the board is cleared and it's not a recorded vote. So the bill actually got voted down. There was not 56 votes, which is what it takes to pass. So there wasn't enough Republicans who are in charge of the legislature right now and have the majority. There weren't enough of them, and none of the Democrats joined. Since then, as I mentioned earlier, there's been some work with the governor's office and both chambers, and sponsors in both chambers, to come up with a compromise version. The sponsors of that legislation feel like the support is there for the version, and if that were allowed to have a vote again in the House, that it would pass pretty overwhelmingly, that Democrats and Republicans would join together and give it enough votes to pass. So the decision now kind of comes back to the leadership of the State House. The Speaker would have to allow for the vote to be put up. And frankly, Dr. Livernoy, I think it's just politics right now. I think the Speaker of the House, who's a Republican, feels like the Democrats took a bad vote on this legislation. They would like to communicate with voters this fall that the Democrats oppose cell phone legislation, and to give them another opportunity to take a vote to reverse that would take that political rhetoric off the table that they had taken a bad vote. So I think it really is just, unfortunately, base partisan politics playing itself out when it comes to making public policy.
So, boy, does that sound familiar.
Right. It's nothing new.
Right. Yeah. If you had to point to one, maybe two things that were the deal breaker, if I was to ask a Democrat, what was the deal breaker for you?
You'll get different answers from whoever you ask, depending on which interest they're trying to serve, unfortunately.
Okay.
I think I think if you ask Republicans, they will tell you that that the Democrats simply don't want to pass this legislation and they had taken a bad vote on that. I think if you ask the Democrats, they'll tell you it was more procedural. They wanted more time. They weren't sure the Senate versions were exactly the way they wanted it. Maybe there was some small policy changes they were still negotiating. I don't think anyone really knows, although that won't stop anyone from telling you exactly why this happened when you ask them. So it's not clear to me there is one reason. As is always the case in Lansing, it's usually more complicated than that.
So if we accept the premise that this is politically driven, this could hang out there for a while.
Right. So, you know, again, there's different points of views on this legislation. There are Republicans who voted no. So there's bipartisan opposition and bipartisan support. This is not a partisan issue in that sense. But look, you know, this is where we as citizens of the state need to come in. If we believe this is public policy that needs to happen, like anything that is related to this, it's on us to talk to our legislators about this. It's on us to hold them accountable, to look out for our priorities. So if you think this policy should pass, it's on us as voters to call our legislators and tell them they need to pick up this legislation and that we expect them to prioritize it on our behalf and get it done. And then next November, when we have a chance to take a look at what they've done on our behalf, we can evaluate that and decide whether or not we want to rehire them.
David Randles, the Director of Government Relations, Educational Policy and Research at Oakland Schools. I appreciate the deep dive into this topic, just given
I appreciate you, Dr. Livernoy. This is quite a service you provided the state of Michigan, talking about our public schools and how we should support and encourage them. So thank you for that.
I appreciate your time, and as always, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll chat with some folks from Anchor Bay High School and the district's decision to go ahead and ban cell phones, even without the state taking action. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Anchor Bay High School is Principal Mike McKenzie, and joining him is teacher Kristen Anderson. We got a neat show for you today as we're going to chat with them and then also two students from the high school who will join us at a later segment. Purpose of today is to talk about how the school has responded to the district's decision to ban cell phones. And if you recall, Mr. McKenzie and I had a conversation on this show several months ago about the decision to do it and wanted to bring him back and check in a little bit to find out how, in fact, things have been going and what the response has been. So, Mr. McKenzie and Kristen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Mr. McKenzie, if you could help us describe, I know it's a recap, but what were some of the reasons Anchor Bay decided to implement this cell phone policy?
Well, I think like most schools, you know, especially high schools, cell phones are a huge distraction for teachers, for students. It can lead to issues like, you know, things like fighting or drama, bullying. There's a lot of good with cell phones, but in schools, there's a lot of distractions and a lot of reasons why it's beneficial to not have them in school.
And if I recall correctly, you made a pretty good effort to let people know this was coming. Anything jump out at you as far as the announcement with parents or maybe even staff?
We, you know, it was first brought up at a board meeting, I believe it was in February, and it was going to be, we were going to roll it out in September. Which we did, and it was mentioned a couple times at a board meeting in the spring, and then in the summer, we really started to notify the parents, kind of giving them a heads up, talking about what the consequences were if you did have a cell phone, and then we had to spend a fair amount of time with the staff, too, talking to them about procedures, logistics, what happens if the student has a cell phone, things like that. So there was a lot of communication, which I think really helped. Some feedback from the parents. One of the things they were really worried about was, you know, especially after Oxford, the concern about if there's an emergency and their students don't have a phone. So I think the board made a very wise decision. We don't take the student's phone at the door. Students are allowed to keep their phone throughout the day. Mm-hmm. They just can't be seen or heard.
So if I'm a brand new student coming to your high school, help me understand, what is the policy as far as me having a phone?
The policy is we have a 2-minute warning bell right before the school starts, right before the day starts. And from that warning bell until the dismissal bell at the end of the day, students cannot have their cell phones out. They cannot be seen. They cannot be heard. It also applies to earbuds, headphones. Smartwatches are a little bit of a gray area. They can be worn, but if they're seen, if a student is seen with them doing anything besides telling the time, then that would also count as an infraction.
Okay. Teacher Kristen Anderson's here. Kristen, what kind of changes have you seen in student behavior, or more importantly, how has it affected students' engagement in the learning process?
I mean, it's been a tremendous change. I know, and I speak to my colleagues every day about this, and I'm, one, really surprised that we were able to actually execute it and execute it properly to the point where I don't see a cell phone, to the point where I don't even remember the kids even have them on them. As far as the behavior in the classroom, the relationships that I'm building with kids, that kids are building with one another, it's kind of, I don't want to say the word forcing, but making those introverts realize, okay, there are 6 billion other people on this planet. I'm going to have to be able to communicate with people one day. And it is sort of just letting them open that door to, well, if I have my phone, I'll just sit on it and close that and say, you know what? No, I'm going to discuss and be in a conversation with someone. Mm-hmm. I'm also seeing kids not being left out as much because I teach ninth grade, and some ninth graders, believe it or not, did not have cell phones. And that was a little hard when they didn't have them yet. Their parents didn't think it was necessary for them to have them yet. And you have every other kid on a cell phone, and they're not. It really kind of showed that I'm the have-not in this situation. But as far as learning, the kids are focused, and they're focused on me 100%. It is an amazing transition from last year, where if they had a second to go on them, it was a fight to get them to put back away. And there was so much instructional time wasted where it was me saying, okay, put them away. Oh, but then my phone would ring. Okay, yeah. Okay, now, oh, no, you got them back out. Put them back away again. No, I'm just texting my mom. No, I just have to check this email from my work. And it really just made it where it was a fight. It was a fight all of the time. Mm-hmm. And the kids weren't doing anything egregious on the phone. They were maybe just texting their mom, but it turned into that, you got to get them away. You got to put them away. And they just became so absorbed in these phones as sort of like a crutch. I kind of laugh and call them adult pacifiers because I feel like nobody can ever just be like alone with their thoughts. They have to have something to stimulate them in front of them.
So is it fair to assume most teachers feel like you do?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I will say, like, this has been executed very, very well. And we were a little nervous, too, coming in. I mean, we were seeing these emails and these Facebook social media posts coming up. And we were like, this is not, they're going to riot. This is not going to work. I was like, am I going to have to wear, like, you know, armor on the day of when I try to take a kid's phone? But I think the kids, and this is from my experience of teaching, they like rules. They like structure. And they like not being distracted from things. They see the value in that. And we were a little nervous, but we all said, let's all do this. Let's all, we all had to be on the same page too. And that's like a lot of conversations. Obviously, Mike, Mr. McKenzie wasn't involved in with some colleagues where we were like, we're going to do this. We are going to, if you see a phone, bring it down, bring it down. And plus it's helped that we had a laid out policy and procedure where it was kind of out of our hands. I saw it. I take it down to the pathway office, and it was done.
Fantastic. We're currently chatting with Mike McKenzie and Kristen Anderson from Anchor Bay High School and the district's decision to limit cell phones in the school setting. Mr. McKenzie, can you share, have you noticed any change in discipline and sort of the distraction piece that cell phones have caused in the past?
Yeah, it's been, everything has been extremely positive. The number of fights we've had has been way down. Now, can it all be attributed to the cell phones? Probably not 100%, but a large part of it, because a lot of times fights are started because of something that was put on social media or organized through messaging. Something that was really telling to me is we finally did have our first fight, and it was the middle of October, and I looked on our security cameras, and normally a fight, you know, if there's a fight in the cafeteria at lunch, there's hundreds of cell phones out recording it. So I looked on the security camera footage after the fight, and not a single student had their phone out, which really spoke to how committed the students have been and how much they enjoy not being tied to their phone.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what were some of the challenges, not thinking that there's these benefits that sort of walk alongside of it.
There's a lot of benefits. Yeah. A couple of the challenges we didn't expect, you know, vending machines, you use your phone to purchase water.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to decide, are we going to let kids use their phone when they're trying to get a bottle of water? And we decided it's no. The answer is no.
Right.
No cell phones. So we've had to have workarounds around that. Some of our clubs would use QR codes for signups or for payment. And so we've had to adjust and find workarounds for that. But these are very minor in comparison to the benefits
I imagine,
we've seen.
So Mike McKenzie and Kristen Anderson here from Anchor Bay High School. I want to take a short break. When we come back, I would like to have two students from the school join us, Cameron Barbier and Aiden Becker, who are going to give us the student perspective and compare it with the thoughts you've shared with us. Stay right there. We'll be back. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Welcome back to School Talks. We're continuing our conversation with Anchor Bay High School. And on the program now, we're joined by Cameron Barbier and Aiden Becker, both seniors at the high school, who are here to give us a perspective on the cell phone policy and how it's affected them as students in the school. So welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time today. So, Aiden, let's start with you. Can you give us a sense of how your own experience in school has changed since this policy went into effect?
Yeah, I can definitely see in general, like before we had the with the cell phones, everyone would be constantly, when they had the ability to, go on them for a second, check, peek, whatever, and not completely give full attention to the teacher.
Let me ask you, Cameron, has your experience with your friends changed at all since you're not on your phone so much? Given, I would imagine, most of your friends you're texting are in school with you. How has that changed for you?
You know, as students, I feel there's always a natural, like, opposing view with rules that are implemented within the school system. And my friends, as soon as we got word of the new policy, it was posted throughout the whole summer before the school year started. We did have conversations about how it was going to work. And I do have classes with a lot of my friends, so that makes it a lot easier not having to text them. But before then, like junior year, we all had a lot of different classes, and I did text them all the time. But I think now that I can't text them in class, it makes it even more exciting when I see them in the hallway or at lunch. I enjoy it so much more, and I can almost fill them in on what's happened these last 2 hours instead of texting them what's going on every second it happens.
That is a fascinating perspective. There's an old saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and the way you describe that's a perfect example of it. Aiden, I'm going to ask this question of both of you. I'd be curious to see your interactions in class with teachers and instruction. You know, there was a time when people felt technology was good for information and learning. I'm curious how that, not having your cell phone available, has affected how you interact with teachers.
Yeah, absolutely. Beginning of the school year, it was kind of weird. I had to go back and be like, how the heck do I use this book thing again? You know, but yeah, so now we use our Chromebooks whenever we get the chance to. You know, the teachers will give us a leeway on to use them. And it's actually, when I'm using the books now, I actually have to look up information and physically, you know, scan through and read everything that I need. And I feel like it definitely helps me understand and really just have a better topic when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But
how about you, Cameron?
I really enjoy it when I'm sitting there and I've always been the student to look at the teacher and see if no one else is paying attention. I kind of have that empathy side of me where I'm like, guys, pay attention. But now that we don't have phones and something to distract us, I find everyone paying attention. Even the people that obviously I'm a senior now. I've been in this school for 4 years. I've witnessed kids never raise their hand or just simply don't want to participate. But there's so much more participation, and we get our homework, or what is supposed to be homework now that we have so much time, we're finishing it a lot quicker. And you can see teachers moving through lessons plans so much faster than they would in previous years. And it really makes everything run smoothly.
Has either of you witnessed or experienced one student policing another student? Like, hey, get off your phone. Have you ever seen any of that?
Yes, absolutely. I feel like it's kind of fun in a way where it's... if someone kind of pulls it out for a second, you're like, don't do it. It's not worth getting in trouble, you know?
Sure.
And then, because it's the first one, you get a warning, you know, and then it's, you know, detentions all the way up to suspension. But in general, yeah, I feel like mm-hmm. it's a big difference.
Yeah. We're currently chatting with Cameron Barbier and Aiden Becker, seniors at Anchor Bay High School, and their reaction to the new cell phone policy at the school. It makes me remember a time when I was a teacher. The best way to get the class to be quiet is just stand in front of the class with your arms folded, and pretty soon the class will quiet itself down. You don't have to, you know, one check, two. Just stand there for a minute, and it sort of takes care of itself. On the emergency side, we talked earlier in the program about parents being concerned about getting a hold of students. Has either of you experienced a need in an emergency, and or do you know anyone that has had to connect with someone on an emergency basis in the school? How about you, Aiden?
I have personally not really seen anybody like so far, but I do know there's instances of like people not feeling well, you know, just the average school day stuff. We can go down to the office and call them. It's like back in middle school, you know, it's really not that bad. And then like they were saying earlier, we have our cell phones on us in case of emergency where you need to get in contact with someone.
A true emergency. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
If you have a stomachache. That's
exactly. If you really need to go down.
Same kind of emergency. How about you? Any experience with that?
Yeah. Going into the cell phone policy, I had this fear that if I was in the emergency, I wouldn't be in the right headspace to reach down and grab my phone if it was in my backpack. I'm so worried about getting up and leaving. And so being able to have my phone on my person is really important to me. And the cell phone policy was executed so well that I am able to do that. So it does give that kind of reassurance. But if there is an emergency, something as little as someone passing out or someone throwing up or stuff like that, mm-hmm. I mean, in that emergency, it is always worth it if there is a major incident.
Sure.
You can use your phone. Yeah. I mean, it's not like 911's 100 mm-hmm. feet away. You can always call them right then.
Well, and you know, I appreciate that distinction because as your principal said earlier, needing a bottle of water and not being able to use your phone to buy it isn't the same kind of emergency as someone throwing up in the hall or what have you. Overall, do you feel that students think the policy is fair?
I'd say so. Yeah, absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
And I'm going to put you on the spot. Any recommendations you have for your principal on how the policy might change? Is there any way to make it better?
Honestly, don't worry.
I know him well. Don't worry.
Honestly, I think it's overall really well. I mean, there's always going to be those few kids who are like, this sucks, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like what Ms. Anderson was saying, it helps everybody to get out of their shell, you know, and really understand and mm-hmm. actually participate. But, yeah.
You know, and the one thing I thought of was, given how connected we all are to our phones, adults included, I often, when I first talked to Mr. McKenzie about this, would there be a period where students felt bored because they're not connected to it? Any thoughts on, if either of you, let me ask you, Cameron, have you had to manage boredom because you don't have your phone, or has that somehow been filled with something else?
Yeah, so I was also worried about that because former years I had taken that time to go on my phone when I could have been doing a lot of other things, mm-hmm. obviously. But boredom's a big thing, especially if you're a student that gets your work done all the time and you have that free time. That's why we were given, our school bought all new Chromebooks for each classroom. So in each classroom, there's a cart of about 30 Chromebooks that we can use to, whether it's play games or get our work done that the teachers do assign online. And I think it's really important. Or if I realize I am slacking off, I don't look to go on my phone. I kind of look to take that time to really study the criteria that I had just learned mm-hmm. and get that work done so I don't have to do it at home.
That's a good incentive. How about you, Aiden? Any issues with boredom?
Every once in a while, yeah, I'd be walking in the hallway and I go to grab it. I'm like, wait, I can't. You know, it definitely makes me, like, when I look over and see who's around me in the hallway, I interact with other people, even people I don't know. You know, I'm just like, how's your day going? Just the simple things as to that. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like at lunch and everything, too, we interact a lot more. Everyone's way more talkative. We find stuff to do, make little games up. You know, it's kind of like how school used to be, I think.
Yeah, you know, I was at a concert not long ago, and I was watching. It seemed like 2/3 of the arena were just holding their phone up and not really taking in the concert. And I think about a cafeteria. Mm-hmm. In my time, even back, well, cell phones weren't nearly where they were when I was a principal. I think they were still in a bag with a big magnet, but most cafeterias were every kid on their phone, and they might even be communicating with the student across the table, especially if they're gossiping about someone. So the reduction of that really sort of drives home the point about how socialization has increased in a good way. So one last question for both of you. You're seniors. Is there any chance you'll take this practice of not using your cell phone to college with you? Cameron?
Yeah, so definitely the focus factor that I've been talking about. I really enjoy not looking at my phone when I have that extra time. And I've even realized now outside of school, even though it is a practice only inside of school, I'll go to grab my phone. I'll be like, oh, I can't do that, but I can because I'm outside of school. Or when I'm doing stuff outside of school, my screen time has diminished tremendously by hours. I used to go home and sit on my phone all the time. I admit to that. But now when I am doing stuff with my friends and even how we do it at lunch at school, we're talking so much and not going on our phone. So that kind of transfers outside of school. When all of us friends are hanging out, we're talking and we're having genuine conversations rather than showing each other TikToks. I mean, we still do that, but not as often.
Sure. Aiden, how about you?
I'd say 100%. I think even just walking outside of school, like what Cameron said, I'll love, like, do I have the opportunity to go on my phone? But I really don't need to, you know? I feel like I definitely overall see a positive aspect on it. And I feel like in school, again, like I said, having my phone put away, there's even days I put it in my backpack where I feel like in college I can do the same thing and actually understand the criteria much better.
Cameron Barbiere and Aiden Becker, obviously two standouts here from Anchor Bay High School. I want to thank you for joining us on School Talks and giving us what I would consider is an on-the-ground perspective of a policy that seems to be working very well at Anchor Bay High School. I appreciate your time and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, sir.
Well, that's a wrap for today. Class has ended. I want to thank my guests, David Randles from Oakland Schools and from Anchor Bay High School, Principal Mike McKay. Kenzie, teacher Kristen Anderson, and students Cameron Barbiere and Aiden Becker. That's all the time we have for today, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.